Some people are carefree and lighthearted. Others are peacemakers or mediators. And I'm, well, most likely in a state of pre-annoyance, about to be annoyed, annoyance, currently annoyed, or post-annoyance, still reeling from the last thing that annoyed me and bracing for the impact of impending annoyance, which launches me back into pre-annoyance. And around we go. It's not easy being me, to feel so personally offended by everyone's actions around me, to be utterly mystified by strangers' decisions, to feel the burning heat in my chest when the pillowcase opening isn't facing toward the outside of the bed. Most of my pet peeves are really fucking petty. Like the people on the internet who insist on posting the phrase, "ignore this" in a photo. Ignore my dirty floors. Ignore my bad hair day. Or a favorite, ignore that I'm drinking red wine out of a white wine glass. If people are rallying the troops over your choice in alcohol receptacle, let those people go, man. I've drank wine out of a solo cup, walking down the street, and many, many times out of a bag. When you tell someone to ignore something specific, the brain immediately zeroes in on that specific stimulus. Just like when someone says, "Don't think about that." What happens? You think about it. Pink elephants. So telling someone to ignore something is more accurately telling someone to ignore everything else for the one thing you didn't want them to see in the first place. Maybe it's a fish for compliments or a vulnerability play. Maybe if you mention your bad hair day, people will tell you that your hair looks great. Or someone else will see your dirty floors and find solace that they too have a messy kitchen. My vote is for everyone to stop being so coy. If MTV taught us anything, it's that when seven strangers are picked to live in a house, they stop being polite and start getting real. I'm Danielle, and you're listening to This Is Not the Prologue, meaningful thoughts that don't matter. It breaks my heart to see how easily people can put other people down on the internet. I wrote my first negative Yelp review only a year ago because I feel bad putting that ish out into the world. In the back of my mind, I think maybe the service was bad because someone called out last minute, or the food was under-seasoned because we're in a salt shortage, or they're out of pork for the 10th time because whoever is managing their inventory is royally incompetent. Yeah, Namu food truck, I'm calling you out. People who sleep naked. Rather, people who have to sleep naked. And don't worry, you didn't miss something or jump forward in time. I'm moving on from one pet peeve to another. We have a lot of ground to cover. I don't have to sleep naked, and I don't want to. I sleep quite the opposite. Socks, pajama pants, sweatshirt. I could wear a parka to bed and sleep comfortably. If there were an intruder or the zombie apocalypse evolved overnight, I could hop out of bed and be ready for action. All I'd need were shoes. But you naked people, oh no, no. You're gonna have to find some underwear because you don't want to be fighting zombies commando. You need protection. And let's be real, commando hurts. Denim rubbing up on your hoo-ha or your ding-a-ling, ain't no thing. I always thought I would fare quite well in some kind of natural disaster or dystopian future until I read an article in The New Yorker on the big one, aka the big ass earthquake that's predicted to decimate the West Coast in, you know, like 50 years or sooner. It's the "or sooner" that makes me jumpy, and this prediction. Nonchalance will shatter instantly. So will everything made of glass. Anything indoors and unsecured will lurch across the floor or come crashing down. Bookshelves, lamps, computers, canisters of flour in the pantry. Refrigerators will walk out of kitchens. Refrigerators walking? Wow. I've watched several seasons of Doomsday Preppers, and I'm not really digging the lifestyle. Canned food, dark spaces, non-electronic forms of entertainment. Side note, is anyone truly happy while eating a granola bar? I've recently come to terms with the reality that I'm not equipped to survive the big one, or even a little one, if I'm honest. I admire people who have their bug-out bags and 32 jugs of water and those aluminum thermal blankets that make you feel like you're a Chipotle burrito. I think I'm the kind of person like the mom in Titanic who tucks her kids into bed and kisses them, knowing full well that they are all about to die. But she's able to enjoy those last few moments of her life, to choose a sense of calm and normalcy before everything is ripped away. I personally don't want to spend my final moments fighting some a-hole in a plaid pantry for the last bag of Cheetos. You know what I love about the internet? For literally every topic you could possibly imagine, there is a community of people arguing over said topic. Anytime I mention a pop culture reference in an episode, I usually spend a few minutes Googling said thing to make sure my memory isn't failing me entirely. I searched "mom in Titanic who tucks kids in at night," only to stumble upon a forum on tigerdroppings.com, Jesus, that's a URL, of people's candid thoughts about her decision. Let's unpack this one from Tiger1242, sub-username LSUFan, in 2011. It's a heart-wrenching moment of a mother choosing to put her kids to sleep and avoid the desperate death that would come from trying to escape. But when you really think about it, didn't she just guarantee a horrible, terrifying death in a water coffin? As soon as the freezing water touches them, they'll definitely be awake and alone with absolutely no hope of escaping. So they just have to cry and scream and drown with nobody around to comfort them. This to me seems much, much worse than trying to escape as a family. Now it makes me wonder about that mom. I bet she ran off and tried to escape unencumbered by her kids. This woman is a monster. Wow. I mean, I guess to each their own, but Tiger1242, let's cool it down just a skosh. There are 4 pages of people arguing the morality of this woman's decision. Some are convinced she poisoned her children before putting them to bed. Another says those kids could have definitely fit on Rose's board with her, which they may not be wrong. And my favorite comment from Crawdaddy, she should have chosen Carnival. Here's another thing that brings me down. People who are so fucking snooty about not measuring. Ooh, I never measure, see? Like, shut the fuck up. I happen to like being precise, thank you very much. Also, people who use only 3 pieces of tape when wrapping presents. Fucking show off. Next, a rapid fire of mini annoyances for your listening pleasure. People who don't use bookmarks. Crooked bumper stickers. Emails. All of them. Restaurants playing too loud music. Restaurants playing no music at all. Mismatched assortments, like 8 hot dogs but only 6 hot dog buns. Daylight savings time, or the other one. Doesn't matter, the whole thing is stupid. When the fast food person says, "Is that all?" after every item, and you keep having to say, "Not quite," and feel like a worthless piece of shit, colleagues in admiration of other colleagues for always working late, like, goodness gracious, these late workers are probably inefficient as fuck and have no boundaries. Anytime you have to choose all the images with a fire hydrant, and there's always at least one blurred square where you question, could this be a fire hydrant, and you always make the wrong choice. People who purposely don't use capitalization. People who think their time is more valuable than mine. People who don't load a dishwasher like their life depends on it. People who didn't like the movie Cocaine Bear because they take life way too freaking seriously. Like, come on, people. It's a slasher movie with a bear as the main character. A bear on cocaine. And finally, people. Yeah, most people are my pet peeve. Except for you, of course. Dear listener, you are one of the good ones. Thank you for listening to This Is Not the Prologue. You were here, and now you have other things to do. Take care out there.